This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back in, everybody. Hour number two of the Sunday edition of the Lombardi Line from downtown Las Vegas, our Circa Sportsbook studio. He is Mike Palm, VP of Operations for Circa, Golden Gate, and the D. If he's on his phone, that's because he's a very busy man.
I'm looking, I see
you got a lot going
Oregon
on.
Oregon laying 24 to Boise next week.
Yeah, that's right. Oof. Line's starting to come out for week two. I'm Ben Wilson. We'll get some thoughts from Harrison Sanford, who is one of our new hosts of the VSiN Morning Line. That's where you'll see Michael Lombardi starting tomorrow, as this is our final Lombardi Line show, as we kind of flip things forward here into the new lineup. But Harrison will join us in a half hour, get his thoughts on LSU and USC today from Allegiant Stadium, some thoughts on the week one movement, and then in the NFL, and then college football week two movement, as I'm starting to see some numbers populate, and there are, I think it's going to move fast and furious here for week two.
You know, if you were tuned in last segment, we had Carl Johnson from the Beau Rivage, and I know people think he was being self-deprecating by saying when he was on the phone call with Bill Ady and whoever, maybe it was that Derek Van Nostrum or whatever the marketing arm was at that time of a BSN, that he said three words and they said, that's it, that's the voice. There's a lot of truth to what he's saying, because, you know, we have a lot of Midwestern voices here, ourselves included. Mitch and Paul are upper Midwest. Humans is a Midwest guy. I mean, Brent's a Chicago guy, right? There's the Southern. Yeah, obviously, I think the subscriptions in the Southeast, the last time I was talking to Bill about it, they have huge subscriptions in the Southeast, right? When you look at the map, heat map of our subscriptions, which is, of course, driven largely by college football, but you don't really have anybody from the Southeast. So I think Carl was spot on when he may not have been exaggerating when he said after three words, they said, that's the voice.
And that's totally totally okay. Yes, yeah. we've loved having Carl on. And we will continue to see, especially on this LSU game, where the line movement goes. Actually, the movement of the day that we're seeing as we were sitting during commercial break, Mike, BC getting popped in the market. Circa, the first to move that dropped a whole point within the last 10 minutes. Boston College and Florida State, that's tomorrow night, the standalone Labor Day game. We're down to 16 now, market-wide. At one point, 22, had been sitting 17 most of the weekend. A lot of BC Eagle money coming in.
You know, and the angle in the NFL is fading off the travel to London, right?
Yeah.
This is,
same thing.
Well, it's Georgia Tech, but, I mean, it's also a brutal, brutal travel. They're not getting any extra rest. I mean, they get the Monday game instead, but that's a long trip.
Even though Georgia Tech covered, having watched a good amount of that game,
start.
I thought they looked really sluggish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you felt like you had the right side if you took points with Georgia State. They got a lot of buyback on them once that line touched 21.5, lose by 23. Tough luck not to get there. But yeah, so the early returns were tough return. Maybe it's different because you lost and you were embarrassed and you have the motivation to turn it around. But clearly, one-way movement on the BC side. We'll talk some more week two line movement in college football a little bit later, but we've yet to really dive into the NFL yet today, Mike. So we get into some of our news and notes, and I think it was just shocking, honestly, to be on Twitter yesterday. You're watching, all the college football games, and to see the unbelievable reports coming out of San Francisco that the rookie wide receiver Ricky Pearsall suffers a gunshot wound to his chest in an apparent robbery attempt. Fortunately, he is in a stable condition, but you're just, in a week that has been so tragic already in the sports world, to see that happen, you just go, no way. But Pearsall, fortunately, there was the video that comes out. He was at least walking under his own power to the ambulance. But now this is a guy amidst, San Francisco, a team already so much concern about where they're going to be at week one. Now Pearsall, where is he going to be? And you're just fortunate he's even okay, but that's the most important part. As far as him playing on the field, Mike, we have no idea and no reason to believe he'll be good for some time.
My first thought was, I hope he's okay. And then my second thought was, this is just not the 49ers' year, right?
Seriously,
I mean, how much more are they going to endure? I don't know if this will have any effect on that number that's already moved to 2.5 points in favor of the Jets, but it's certainly, life is very fleeting. I mean, you have the Gaudreau shocking, terrible tragedy, then a shooting. And I mean, I guess that for a great many people out there, it's a part of their everyday life. For those of us that it's not, it's
right.
It becomes, so much more bolden when we hear about it. But hope for his recovery, and hopefully he'll be able to get back out on the field soon.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, most important part, mm-hmm. He was okay. And again, that was Ricky Pearsall, the first-round draft pick for the 49ers. I was at an event in downtown San Francisco, and then leaving an apparent robbery attempt, suffers a gunshot wound to his chest. But again, there was video that at least showed him walking to the ambulance. So he is at least going to be okay. That line, you know, if you talk about the week one, the Monday night game, at one point was 6, down to 3.5 now, as it's just been a brutal summer stretch here for the 49ers on a variety of fronts. The other news that comes out on that game was Robert Saleh's comments, the Jets head coach, that Mike Williams will be available at wide receiver for week one. Jets are going to be, the quote is, very smart with how he use him. Again, not a situation you would think would really impact the line, as you know, the Jets, it feels like they are about as healthy as you can get here, Mike, going into this game. Mm-hmm. And if you're making the Jets case long term, this is the perfect spot. If you're going to take San Francisco on the road, you want it to be now, when San Francisco's dealing with holdouts, hold-ins, guys banged up at key positions and the like. Certainly seems like a good spot for the Jets. The question is, have we seen this line fall as far as it already will, or will this potentially touch 3, which would have been thought unimaginable a couple months ago?
I don't think here it will get to 3.
No, 3.5.
It's still the lean to the juice, even at DraftKings, is towards the 3.5 towards 4 side. Here... It's flat. Yeah, I was just looking before the show. It's still a flat 3.5. I'm pretty sure that's the number you're going to close at. There's a much greater chance in my mind it goes to 4 than it goes to 3. But I would say on the three-way line, you're looking at probably minus 210, 220, that it stays at 3.5.
I think that's a good one. I like the three-way line.
The three-ways. Is it going to go to 3?
I would. Well, 4? What can I get on the draw price that it doesn't?
There you go.
What can I get there? Take a little Brighton. Can we get a Brighton 49er reference on that? That line movement has been very significantly moved already. Something that, as far as other line movement here, the Thursday night game will be the first one we talk about, simply because it is the first game on the card. But we finally saw it. We were waiting for, seemed like, you know, weeks, Mike, where the original Ravens money comes in at the 3. It's Ravens at Chiefs. That line's sitting Chiefs 2.5 for a long, long time, and finally it got scooped up. A lot of bettors swooping in as limits are raised, taking Kansas City to push the line out to 3. Fortunately, good news on the Ravens side, that Mark Andrews is ready to play, so he is going to be good to go. And then the update from Kansas City sounds like Hollywood Brown, who had suffered the shoulder injury early in camp, not expected to play week one for the Ravens. So we've started to see a little more shading toward Baltimore. That's juiced out minus 115, 120. It feels like one of those classic games, Mike, where you see a lot of Ravens plus 3 money and then a lot of Chief buyback once it gets down to 2.5.
Well, we don't want the game to land 3. It would be a disaster, right?
Is Derek going to print out the T-shirts that says 3 with the slash through it like the Super Bowl?
You're right. I mean, nobody laid 3 and nobody took 2.5. So 3 is a disaster number here. I did lay 2.5. I think it's a really tough spot for I'm down on the Ravens, as I've said several times on the network. But I also think it's a really tough spot going to Kansas City for the Super Bowl champ opener. Oh, and by the way, your defensive coordinator's never called a defensive play before, right? Plus all the other changes and Lamar's mysterious illnesses during preseason. The players you lost, you have your D-line coach die. Now, I know they knew he was going to be out for an extended period of time, and they had brought a replacement in. But they're replacing 3 defensive linemen, and he dies. So there's a lot of factors. And then Tucker, I think Tucker's also on the decline. I'm not interested at 3, but at 2.5, where you can get a field goal late to win a game, I think it's a good spot for the Chiefs. I think it's a perfect time for the Chiefs to play the Ravens.
I think that's a very good way of phrasing it. What also is interesting to me about the way the preseason storylines have played out, remember how everybody, previous preseasons, Mike, all we talked about was Baltimore, machine betting in the preseason.
Mm.
John Harbaugh, best preseason coach ever, straight up against the spread. No matter what the other games with the Ravens were favored by 6.5, 7 in preseason games, you just bet them. They were so, you know, they were so dialed in, they game planned, they were so smart, the backups were ready to go, they knew the system. You watch the Ravens at all this preseason?
I don't really watch.
They looked, the game against Green Bay, they lose 30-7. They look completely uninterested, completely disorganized. Again, I'm never one who reads into preseason. I just think it's interesting how the greatest preseason coach ever and team looked like they would have rather been anywhere
else. This
year
he said, no, it's not important.
I mean, but why? Why now?
Another thing, and I think it's a defense, but offensive line coach Joe D'Alessandro.
Yeah.
How about Derrick Henry? Is that a fit for their style of running with Lamar as the quarterback? They run more of a counter-slashing running game with a little option read in there. I mean, Derrick Henry is as north and south as you get, and he's even more north and south at his age now. And how many carries is he going to have? What's his workload going to be? I just don't know that it's – I don't think it's an upgrade. I don't think it's a good fit.
Long term, I believe Baltimore finds a way for all the pieces to come together. But we've seen time and again, when you have two, three new offensive linemen, I mean, remember Cincinnati a couple years ago? The retooled offensive line, week one, they were a touchdown favorite against Pittsburgh. Joe Burrow couldn't stay upright. Everyone was freaking out. Burrow, was sacked time and again. You're going up against a really good defensive front in Kansas City. You have a brand new offensive line, first game here. And I wonder what the line would have been had KC taken care of business against Detroit and not lost what was an incredibly, in the moment, a fluky game where there were drops all over the place. Kansas City wins that game, and you have the historical trends being it's very pro Super Bowl defending champion at home in the opener. What would this line be? 3.5, 4? Like it's not an overstatement to me to believe it would have been jacked up a little bit more. As much as the power ratings guys would tell you, no, this was always destined to be 3. To me, there is something to be said for where the trends are in these season openers and how people are going to remember what KC did or didn't do last year to open the year.
Yeah, I think people also remember the AFC Championship game and Baltimore totally hitting the panic button down one score in the same. Kansas City, and they said it after the game, with a 7-point lead, they just tried to run the clock out. They were so buttoned up offensively because they said they're not coming back. The Ravens are not going to score on us. It was a really weird scenario with the way that went down. And I know a lot of people had futures on the Ravens. We had a huge future liability in the book. They bet them in that game, and they just...
I bet the Ravens in that game.
I thought Monken was horrible. I thought the play calling was horrible in the second half, and they didn't stay true to themselves. They had a whole half to grind out that game.
What I will say, if you see that happen again, last year when the same thing played out, books did not adjust. The in-game passing attempts on Lamar Jackson were very, very low in the mid-20s. That was one that you could have taken advantage on. I at least saved a little bit of my bacon, Mike. How much I had
saved
on the
my
Ravens.
Bacon. That was from our days over
at... Yes, it was.
Stanford. Every week, Stanford.
Every week, Stanford. When we come back, we'll update more Week 1 thoughts on the NFL.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue rolling on hour number 2 of the Lombardi Line. Excited to welcome in Harrison Sanford coming up in 15 minutes. That's right, Mike. Fresh off the press is best bets from Harrison. As given to us by our outstanding producer.
He's all
Ellie
over the
Bowman.
Wings. All over the wings.
At WNBA. Big wings fever matchup today. He's also got some futures plays and a thought on USC and LSU. We're excited to bring in Harrison. It was really nice to welcome in Grace Remington to the network yesterday. It'll be Grace, Harrison Sanford, and Michael Lombardi on the VSiN Morning Line starting tomorrow morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And a big congratulations, by the way, to our producer, Ellie Bowman of Lombardi Line, will be the new producer of the Morning Line.
That ticket cashed at 12 to 1. By the
yeah,
way.
You got it?
That was nice. He was actually the fourth choice.
Was it really? Four? Okay, right. good ticket for you.
The three favorites didn't work here yet, but...
good. Hey, you cashed a ticket.
He cashed on Elliott.
That's
young
what
Elliott got there.
Young, hey, I'm pumped as if... Yeah, we're fellow Mizzou alums. Mizzou Mafia continues to... That's what they call it, Mike. You're aware.
Danny Waxman. There's a lot of great, great broadcasters out of the University of Missouri.
There are. Hey, it's big time for Mizzou. They're like... A lot of hype on the football team, 51-0 over Murray State after...
I think they got the right coach there. I think Frankwitz is really good.
I would concur on that. We will see, though, as far as NFL, where the lines go for week one, because Missouri, we already talked to one of the one team, Kansas City, used to be when I was in school, a two-team state, no more St. Louis Rams. But Rams are part of one of our big moves for week one. We were going to go into some fade or follow here, Mike. Biggest line movements as far as what the public seems to be on. And Carl Johnson actually alluded to it, the Beau Rivage Sportsbook director, when we had him on about a half hour ago. Ton of Texans money coming in. That's not just specific to Biloxi, Mississippi. That's everywhere because the Texans have gone from 1.5 to 2.5-point favorites now in the week one game at Indianapolis, seeing 92% of the handle. We've got some of these DraftKings splits right now. A lot of people on Houston, Mike. You buy the movement we're seeing there for week one in Indy.
I think it's wrong. I don't like that. So this would be the fade, the binary game. I would fade this movement. Look, if you go back to that essentially AFC South championship game that they played in Indianapolis, the same side of this game, I mean, everybody talks about the fourth down pass that went off the fingertips. How about your boy from Wisconsin, Jonathan Taylor, not refusing to put his shoulder down and stay in bounds on both second and third down? They would have never had a fourth down play. I mean, a lot of things went right for Houston to win that game. It also took a complete collapse of Jacksonville to make them the AFC South champs. Now, I realize there's so much love for Houston in this market. A lot of people betting them to win the AFC as well, and that's reflected in this. But I think Indianapolis is very well coached. I think they have a high ceiling on offense. I think this game should have been actually 1.5. I thought this game should have been a pick all along. So now we're all the way out to 2.5, but does that inspire a bet? I will wait for 3.
Teaser leg would be very enticing. You're getting home divisional dog through the 3-7 week 1, up to 8.5.
That's a Wong.
That does qualify as a Wong teaser leg. You go back to week 18, the Saturday night. Remember what that game closed, Mike? Houston at Indy?
No, I have no idea.
Close Houston -1. So you're telling me, and that was with no Anthony. We're talking
right, correct.
Gardner Minshew, Anthony Richardson. Everything being equal, we are now saying that Houston is 1.5 better. I'm with you.
Are they 1.5 better as a team? Do you think?
You would say wide receiver wise, yes. But
do you think Diggs going there is a positive for that team? I say no. There's too many people going to want the ball there, and if he doesn't get it enough, he's going to cause locker room issues. They don't need that on that young team.
I'm fine with Diggs. Wide receiver room
has been a problem everywhere he went.
I would have trust in them, finding a way for that to coexist. I'm more concerned about the defense. I mean, this was a Houston defense 26th defending the pass on an EPA per play basis against the fourth easiest schedule of quarterbacks. Secondary was not good, but it was overshadowed positively by how good C.J. Stroud was in the offense. And are you really ready to believe in this Houston resurgence on the defensive side when they did it against a lot of weak opponents last year?
Sure.
To be laying 2.5 in the divisional game now with a healthy Richardson at quarterback.
Playing all their games in the 1 p.m., 10 a.m. Eastern time. They go from the hunter to the hunted. They go from the blast schedule to the #1 schedule. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to be challenges for them. I'm not saying sell this team. I just don't think they should be 2.5 here in Indianapolis on the road in week 1.
I think we are fading.
Fade the move. Fade the move.
I like the teaser.
We might even get one more in here this segment. Very good, Ben. The pacing is unreal.
I have to live up to my billing, Mike. You know it. We've got the graphic as well. Fading or follow the biggest line, not necessarily line moves, but handle where the general bets are coming in here. In the NFC South matchup, Panthers Saints. This is coming down toward Carolina. 86% of the handle on Carolina. That's moved to 0.5. I have no opinion on this. I am not touching either of these teams here to start the season, Mike. It is a stay away from me if there ever was one.
Seems a bit rich. I won't play the game either. I know there's some guys that are pro bettors that are high on the Panthers.
There are, yeah.
Right, like Adam Chernoff, who will be, I saw he tweeted out, he will be on Follow the Money on Friday afternoons. For those of you unaware, Mitch and Paul are moving to Friday to afternoon slot. So from 7 to 10 Eastern a.m. to 4 to 7 p.m., 1 to 4 Pacific, Adam will be on every Friday morning. Professional handicapper, very sharp guy. He is on all the alts on the Panthers win totals and even said sprinkle a little on do Panthers make the playoffs. So I'm sure that they were if they got the right number here early on the Panthers as well. I'll wait and see. That defense was legitimate last year. Obviously, they struggled offensively. The line was the offensive line was awful. But Bryce Young does look small visually when you watch him play in an NFL game. There's just no getting around that to me.
Right, yeah. As much as I want to buy in on the optimism, and there is reason to have it, that's holding me back. Granted, Carolina, good defense. Saints offensive line is a mess, arguably the worst situation in the league. So laying more in the field goal would be a pass for me all the way around here. More top-handled games. Interesting to see, and I get why, because it's been a preseason to forget for the Raiders when you've watched this. This lackluster quarterback battle, Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. But to see 82% of the handle on the Chargers in a game that feels like a true toss-up here. Chargers -3. Number hasn't moved, though. It stayed Chargers 3. You know, what will Justin Herbert's status be? How healthy will he actually look? There's way too many question marks for me, Mike, to feel like I have a ton of conviction. Even though, yes, by my by pure numbers, I would think this would be more like 5.5, but I'm not ready to not ready to commit on the LA side with how many question marks they have on offense.
Do you think that they will have a more rejuvenated fan base and that SoFi will look less like a road game for the Chargers? This is a hard
not against,
this
not
is
against
a hard
the
example because all the fans are from Southern and Northern California.
Spots, yes. I think to a degree, you're right.
I feel like this game is going to stay within a field goal. So, I mean, if I played it, I might even take a little shot with the Raiders here. I just, I don't love this Chargers roster. And I know Harbaugh, wherever he goes, gets immediate results, whether it's the University of San Diego or Stanford or, I mean, people forget how bad the 49ers were. They came out of that Tom Sula area. They hadn't made the playoffs in 8 years, and he took them to three straight NFC championship games with Kaepernick and Alex Smith. Now, it took him a while to get over the hump of Ohio State at Michigan, but I think he has a long leash to build this roster the way he wants to. So I'm not over Chargers right now. I think that I lean under to their season win total.
Yeah, I feel like the delta between KC and LA 1-2 in the West is the greatest by far of any 1-2 drop off in any other division.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. I think that's
not
for sure.
I don't think it's close.
Yeah,
like we usually don't advocate laying big prices, but KC to win the West this year, even though you're laying it over $2 price.
You can parlay those division champs. Yeah, I think it's really try to come up with three and two that you think are kind of free squares, and then take a shot with somebody that you have a conviction on that might not be the favorite
in
the division.
KC to win the AFC West when it gets released, whenever that is, whether it's tomorrow or Tuesday, with Notre Dame to make the college football playoff.
Boy, that's going to be a heavy chalk now.
Wouldn't you think that two together, and you're probably going to get
money?
You're going to get close to even
money.
Well,
that's
money,
the hope, right?
If not a short, I would think a short minus price.
Yeah, at even money, I think it's a great bet.
We discovered. We run. Now that, again, Notre Dame, Charmin's off schedule. You win over Texas A&M. I just wonder where that number gets set. Because we don't know historically with it being the first year of a 12-team playoff.
Would they not get in with one loss? I mean, and who are they going to lose to? They're going to lose at Purdue? The schedule is as soft as I've seen it in many years.
That's the bet. Mm-hmm. You just hope you get a...
And if they lose at USC at the end, they're going to be 11-1 and not get in?
Right. Exactly. I guess what would you play that up
Notre Dame to be the 5 seed? That should be a market, Would that be a good market?
I'll ask the boys
in the back what they would make that price.
I just wonder what would you play a parlay like that up to? Like what would be fair? Because you'd hope to get even a small minus money, which I think you would be
minus 130 maybe.
Okay, I was thinking like 125.
Well, that's alas. You and I.
We have to have one more of these fade or follow here. Eagles getting support up to a 2.5 from 1.5 in Sao Paulo next Friday against the Pack, almost 80% of the handle.
I would ask you, you're a devoted.
I have no feel. I mean, I think 2.5 is probably the right number on a neutral with where the two teams are.
But neutral, they say that Green Bay is the team of Brazil.
I know. They're probably going to need more Packer fans. So
why are they playing it in the fourth largest soccer stadium?
No, I don't know.
Why? They're definitely afraid they couldn't sell 90,000 tickets in Brazil, I guess. In England.
They
fill these stadiums.
The IOC blocked all the venues in Brazil from the last Olympics when they ripped all the migrants out of their homes. I don't know. Alas, 2.5 is your line right now. Another, that would probably qualify too. You think about a good teaser like for a game very evenly matched, getting a Green Bay team through 3 and 7. All right, when we come back, excited to welcome in Harrison Sanford, new host of the VSiN Morning Line. He's got best bets all across the board, NFL, college, and a little WNBA. We'll welcome Harrison in when we continue right here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back in, final half hour of this Sunday edition of the Lombardi Line. Our final Lombardi Line. What a run it has been, Mike Palm. It's been a great show today. Great to have Carl Johnson on from the Beau Rivage. We will get some thoughts as well from our next guest in a second, because USC-LSU, that is the game of the day here from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. And as we flip things forward to our new lineup starting tomorrow, the VSiN Morning Line, it was great to have Grace Remington on yesterday. Grace gave us out a couple winners. Clemson team total.
Team total. You co-signed.
We did. We were simpatico on that. Mm-hmm. That was a sweatless winner yesterday to kick off the college football season. We welcome in one of Grace's co-hosts as well, along with Michael Lombardi, starting tomorrow, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern time, as we go out to our progressive guest line. We welcome in from New York City, Harrison Sanford, one of the new members of the VSiN Morning Line. Harrison, great to have you on. Welcome to the network, and we are really, really pumped to see how the new show looks here starting tomorrow morning.
I am excited. Thank you guys for having me join your show. I'm excited for the Morning Line for sure. It's going to be a good time. We're just going to talk about sports just like you normally will. I'm like one of those guys who wakes up and thinks about sports before he has his coffee. So it should be a good time in the morning, 7 to 10 Eastern. And shout out to the guys who were holding it down before. Waking up that early in Vegas?
It's not for the faint of heart.
Harrison, they could have moved to Boston. They could have moved to New York. They did, Paul said he didn't want to shovel snow. I think Miami's in the Eastern time zone. I mean, okay, enough is enough already. They had options, but I'm happy for them. Let's highlight some of your plays. You're going to tease this new Morning Line audience with some of your plays today that you have. A couple futures and a couple plays for today. Let's start out with the NFL MVP market. A little birdie told me you're really impressed with Josh Allen and all the weapons he has in Buffalo this year.
Well, I don't know if I'm impressed with his weapons. And actually, part of the reason why I like Josh Allen for MVP is because he doesn't have that certified number one weapon. If you look at other players in this MVP market, they have certified number one targets, if not more. If you look like at a guy like, let's say, Patrick Mahomes, obviously he has Travis Kelce. If you look at a guy like Joe Burrow, he's going to have, one would assume, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. If you look at C.J. Stroud, per se, he just got Stephon Diggs. I think if you look at Josh Allen, subtracting Stephon Diggs from his wide receiver room and him having to elevate a player like Keon Coleman, elevate a second-year tight end in Dalton Kincaid, I think elevating this offense will give him the narrative that he needs in order to win MVP because he's bereft of that number one target. And at the end of the day, all he has to do, in my opinion, is make it to the playoffs. And I don't see any scenario where Josh Allen doesn't make the playoffs. So because of his lack of true number one targets, even look like a guy like Tua Tagovailoa, he has Tyreek Hill. That's probably going to hurt him. It could help him, yes, but it could also hurt him when it comes to the narrative. Josh Allen really doesn't have that certified Pro Bowler, and I think that helps him as long as he makes the playoffs, which I think he will.
That's a high variance-based bet, right? I mean, the AFC is so wide open. If you are a believer in Buffalo, it's reasonable to think, as you just laid out, Harrison, Josh Allen will be in the mix to win MVP. It's similar to, we have other, you know, high variance teams around the league. A team I really like this year, Seattle, like Mike McDonald, coach of the year. That was a 20-1 shot earlier in the summer. And you're also high on Seattle here. What's the case now that we've seen preseason and camp play out as to why at this point in the preseason, Seattle is still a good bet to make there as far as a West or a playoff long shot?
Yeah, well, if you ask me who's going to win the NFC West, I'm still going to probably predict the 49ers. But when replacing a future ticket, I want the value. And so at 7-1, I do think it's worth a worthwhile bet. You mentioned Mike McDonald coming in from Baltimore. That's one of the things that really was curious to me is how the Seattle Seahawks weren't good, especially with their defensive backs that they drafted the last 2 years in the first round. I thought they'd be a lot better with players like Devin Witherspoon in that secondary. I think Mike McDonald's going to elevate that defensive unit. And then honestly, I really don't see any issues here with the offense. Would you love to have a quarterback better than Geno Smith? For sure. But Geno Smith, in my opinion, is still very solid and still very capable of taking this team to the playoffs. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. And I expect to see a big increase in targets, in usage, in performance from Jackson Smith and Jigma. Remember, he wasn't able to have a full season there with Ohio State in his last year. So now he has a full NFL year under his belt. I think he really starts to go off in his second year in the NFL. And then you still have Kenneth Walker III, Zach Charbonnet. I think it's a worthwhile bet at 7-1. It's worth an investment.
He is Harrison Sanford. You follow him at Harrison Sanford. He, Grace Remington, Michael Lombardi, starting the new VSiN Morning Line tomorrow morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Pumped to have Harrison here aboard, part of the team. We do have a big game today, though, in college football as well, Harrison, that you are going to get some action on. USC, LSU, all the line movement toward USC as far as the side. A lot of money on the over as far as the total. Where do you stand on a very intriguing marquee matchup here at Allegiant Stadium in Vegas today?
Well, I got to say, guys, unless you're giving me your money, I am very, very diligent in how I spend it, especially with the first 2 weeks of the college football season. With my money, I'm going to be very, very diligent with it. And with that being said, I will still place some bets. And one of my bets actually I'm going to place the under in the first half, which is at 33.5. If you look at some of the performances yesterday from some of the teams that we really think were going to be explosive, we didn't get that. Oregon didn't necessarily look good in their first half or the entire game. If you look at how it ended out, or Ohio State, look at that Georgia and Clemson game. For me, what I would like to do is just take the fact that we have so many transfers. It's so hard to keep up with all these players coming in and players not being necessarily familiar with each other. I'm going to go with the under in the first half. Now it might explode in the second half, but I'm going to lean towards the under. And I know that's kind of contrarian because everybody looks at the defense from last year with both of these teams and them not being performing at a high level. But both of these head coaches, Brian Kelly, whether it be Lincoln Riley, they went out there and got their top choices for defensive coordinator. I think that has an impact to start the game. Now, it might still explode by the end of the game. That's why I'm just going to target the first half under. And it ended up working out for me yesterday when I targeted Clemson and Georgia. I looked at their under. I looked at the Notre Dame, Texas A&M under. I think I'm going to go that route, at least for the first half, and then I might jump in live later on in the game.
Well, Harrison, we know it's not the first week of the WNBA. We're in the final stretches of their regular season, so we know you're going to fire away with your own money here. You're not taking the points. You're all over the Wings today, winners of three in a row, including over Minnesota and New York, against a red-hot Fever team as well. Caitlin Clark's got her squad up to 500 now.
Well, Caitlin Clark has been absolutely balling, and I can't believe there was actually an argument for Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark in the Rookie of the Year market. Angel Reese, she's a good player, but she's just not responsible for as much production as Caitlin Clark. And so, yeah, Fever are going to ball out today. I expect Caitlin Clark to ball out today, but I think what a lot of people are not realizing is how good this Dallas Wings team is. Now they got Satu Sabally back in the lineup. She missed the entire first half of the season up into the Olympic break. They've put together some really good wins since they've come back and really gained a rhythm. Her and Arika Ungabuwale, we'll try to say that three times fast, definitely could put up the points. Natasha Howard on the inside, I think she's a force that could definitely quell Aaliyah Boston. And I know Kelsey Mitchell has been playing at a high level, but I do think that because they're also desperate as well, trying to get into that playoff race, I think the Wings are definitely a better team than their record. I think it shows out today. I think there's also something to be said as well, too. When Caitlin Clark comes in the building, we see a lot more fans. And I think, listen, if it was me, if I was on the basketball court, if I was on a football team, whatever team it might be, and I have fans in the arena giving me energy and they might be cheering for the other team, there's a certain level of pride that I have to exude out there as well. And I do think you see that from the Dallas Wings today as they go closer to the playoff chase. Give me the Wings on the money line. I'll take the plus money.
Harrison, would you consider Wings to make playoffs at the plus price? Now, they're two behind the Sky, but the Sky are reeling. As you saw, the Sky were 4.5-point home dogs to Washington the other night, lost. Clark and the Fever finished 6.5-point road favorites. I think there's problems in that Sky locker room because of the way they treat Reese. I mean, they're keeping her in there just to get these double-doubles and treating her differently than everybody else. Do you think the Wings make the playoffs?
I'm glad you pointed that out. I do think they go a little bit too hard to get Angel Reese those double-doubles and give her that record. I do like the Wings to make the playoffs. Again, Satu Sabally is not just some average player coming back to the team. She's an all-star caliber player. And so when she gets into that lineup, it really changes how you have to look at this team. I think they're definitely going to make the playoffs. I would place that bet. And also, too, if you look at the Chicago Sky, it's not just that they've been reeling recently. Just look at their roster makeup. Two of their starters are rookies. So they could definitely crumble under pressure here as the season continues to go on. And obviously, as well, they're really depending on players like Kennedy Carter to score the ball. They lost Mabry because they traded her away to the Connecticut Sun. I could make the argument that they got worse after the trading deadline. Meanwhile, the Dallas Wings got better. Give me the Wings to make the playoffs.
3.5 today. Money is coming in on Dallas, down from 4 on the opener. Harrison Sanford, get ready for more WNBA talk, college football, NFL. You guys are going to hit it all. It's not just football. We've been a football show on the Lombardi line, but pumped to see how you guys set things up on the morning line, man. Best of luck. We love having you as part of the team right now. Really excited to see how it all plays out. Starting tomorrow morning, bright and early, 7 a.m. Eastern.
I'm so excited, my friends. And you didn't mention as well. Just wait till that New York Knicks season comes around. As a lifetime New York Knicks fan, best believe I will be firing up too. So can't wait for the NBA as well.
Those Knicks Sixers talks.
It's that beautiful time of year, my friend.
The Knicks Sixers breakdowns with Lombardi are going to be great. I can't wait. No anti Joel Embiid thoughts whatsoever. Hey, really appreciate it, Harrison, man. Can't wait to see how it all goes. Best of luck here on the new show.
Thank you, my friends. Enjoy the rest of the show.
All right. Hey, we got one more segment.
Get to bed soon.
Yeah, there you go. Final segment of the Lombardi Line. Coming your way next. We got some baseball best bets to give out. We'll do it right after this.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back for the final time on the Lombardi Line. Big thanks to our guest today, Carl Jack Johnson from the Beau Rivage Sportsbook in Biloxi, Mississippi. Always great to have Carl on. And our newest member of the VSiN Morning Line, Harrison Sanford. Great to have him join us as well. Big thanks to Elliot Bowman. Again, shout out Elliot, our producer. He will be the new producer of the VSiN Morning Line starting tomorrow morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Big thanks as well to the whole crew here behind the glass at our Circus Sportsbook studio. Andrew Ingold, our technical director. JB on graphics. We got Aramis as well on audio. Always great to have the A crew here. Part of a Sunday morning. We'll have the handle coming up next. Jonathan Von Tobel and Mike Somich here, Mike. And it's our final segment of the Lombardi Line. So what greater way to wrap up the show than some MLB best bets on this Sunday? I mean, we got action, right? We got to have our best bets for today. I think you and I are both isolating a prop in Toronto and Minnesota today. I'm looking at Bailey Ober. I'm buying the dip here. Ober's worst start of the season last time out, 2 innings, 9 earned against Atlanta. I'll go over 17.5 outs today. Desperate spot for the Twins after they lost 15 zip yesterday. Go over to bounce back here, a guy who had reached at least 6 innings his previous 10 starts, and who's been very good for the majority of the year. Was really just blemished in a bad way. One whole awful start against Atlanta last time out.
I'm going on the opposite side of the ledger to the Blue Jays starting pitcher, okay, Yeriel Rodriguez, and under 2.5 walks.
Walks prop for Mike
Palm. 6 of his last 7. And every start, it's been 2.5, his walks prop. He's gone under the 2.5. So we're going to go back to the well with Yuriel Rodriguez. I was right about one side of that pitching matchup yesterday. Berrios was great.
Yeah.
I looked up, and Zebby had given up 7, and he'd only recorded an out. I said, tough to go under 9.5. I thought that we were in a bad spot.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, touchdown for the Blue Jays in the first inning, week one of college football as well. As far as for today, USC LSU ending up, I think for both of us, our strategy is look for a slow start in game over, low 50s buy point. That's probably it for me though, as far as today. And I think we've missed the boat on the BC line movement for tomorrow. That's down to 16 now. I'm staying away there from BC Florida State on Labor Day, so nothing for me there.
You would be out of bounds on I'm in and I'm out for Brian Ortega.
I know.
You can't say I'm going to monitor in game, so I'll say I pass here.
I'm in, I'm out. Yeah, we're
I'm
out.
In, I'm out.
We're out. Sorry, Ortega. I know he's listening somewhere here.
He'll be guiding Stormy's show. I heard
Brian Ortega.
Great news there as well.
Yes, and it's a good segue to go into our final segment here on the show, Mike. You've prepared.
It's 8 minutes. It's not a 10-minute speech, Ben.
It's not
We could talk a little more sports. Oh, maybe okay. Three.
Well, I wanted to make sure. I wanted to make sure you have plenty
your own
of time.
Soliloquy. Planned.
The only other thing I was thinking of here, as far as we were talking, all the fade or follow for week one in the NFL. Do you have a favorite play for next week that you are looking to make here, NFL wise, or your survivor strategy?
I like the Bears and Survivor. Even Jeff Erickson told us he's taking the points with Tennessee. I think the Bears are the correct survivor play in week one. Now, if you only have one entry, maybe that's a little dicey, and you stay with Cincinnati to try to just advance here. But if you have multiple entries, I don't think you can put them all on Cincinnati. I think you have to spread out a little bit. And so I would be on the Bears. I think Caleb can play within system. And, Tennessee's got a lot to replace, a new coach. They're going on the road. That is actually going to be one of the most fired up environments in week one, is Chicago, with all the hope that city has in this team and finally having a passing offense. So that would be my survivor play.
Think about how that's the highest spread for a rookie quarterback drafted first overall making his debut in modern history. I mean, it's a fascinating spot for Chicago laying 4.5. I would look at as I've thought about it more, Seattle is the survivor way I would go week one in a similar price point to that.
So where are you looking for the Christmas window if you're using Seattle in week one? Because Jeff makes an interesting point there. Even though that's a road game for Seattle on the 26th of December, that's he wants to have them available when he gets there.
That's interesting.
What have you thought about? I know you're not getting it.
No.
So you're not spending a lot other than the VSiN employee one.
Hey, that's very exclusive.
$20.
It's a big deal.
Apparently not all employees get invited. So
that's why it's exclusive.
Who would you isolate? Christmas is much tougher than Thanksgiving, in my opinion.
And options for Christmas are you? Do you have it at the top of your head? Look it up.
Pittsburgh and Kansas City, correct? I mean, that's one of the.
You figure it's going to be hard, to have Kansas City that late. It's just not, for the most part, not in the cards as much as in Survivor, because you get the bonus. The bonus still exists, right? If you don't use the Super Bowl.
There's no more bonus.
Oh, we got rid of the Super Bowl bonus.
Yeah. Once we got over 6 million in guarantee, we got rid of the bonus.
You got rid of the bonus.
It's like Circus Sports. The promo is in the pricing. I want that to be our tag. Everybody says, where's your bonus bets and all the promos in the pricing, right? It's the best pricing.
So maybe you will see more people as a result of that use KC. They will not be holding KC necessarily for that week.
It's interesting because when you look at that Thanksgiving window as well, KC's part of that. I mean, they're the Friday game, the Black Friday game with Raiders at KC. Now, we knew that. It didn't work out so well on Christmas.
Hey, Mahomes' revenge spot
this year. The Raiders win without completing a pass after the first quarter. But when you go to the Christmas window, you have Chiefs at Steelers is the early game. Ravens at Texans is the afternoon game, and then the 26th game is Seahawks at Bears. That's really tough.
Yeah, I think what I would do is, you know, look, you Baltimore, Houston, you want to have one of those teams available, and I think there's going to be a lot more clarity, as much as you would figure that's a tightly lined game now. You get to that point, you make your decision then. That's how I'd approach it. Week one, it's a Minnesota. Minnesota laying the cheap money line there.
One.
On the road, and you can there's some pick'em still out there as well at the New York Giants. It's a situation where you get Brian Flores as a DC, who has already done so much with so little personnel-wise, how aggressive they are going to be, showing all sorts of blitz looks at Daniel Jones in this porous rebuild offensive line for the New York Giants that I don't have much reason to have optimism on. It's a reason for belief in a Minnesota team really being undervalued in the market simply because you have Sam Darnold at quarterback and there's really no confidence in him being a next-level type quarterback. But we've seen how good of a game caller and schemer Kevin O'Connell has been, so I trust Minnesota week one.
Tomorrow, U.S. Open women's tennis. I've got Carolina Muchiva over Gohova. Jasmine Paolini.
You're going against the minion of Italian.
Plus 135. So that's my play.
Okay.
Now, we'd like to say thank you to all of the listeners of the Lombardi Line who have been with Michael through all the iterations of the shows through the years. Obviously, he isn't going away, but we'll start tomorrow morning with his new show, the VSiN Morning Line. In place to Follow the Money, 4 to 7 Pacific, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. But a big thank you goes out to all the people that made Lombardi Line possible through the years, the producers, Stephanie, back then Franier, now Kamershack, who's now executive producer here at VSiN, J.J. Leonard, Matt Santos, Stephen Bond, and, of course, Elliot Bauman through the years. Michael's original co-host, Matt Humans, who was on Lombardi Line, Jonathan Von Tobel, who would trek out to the East Coast and do live shows with Michael Lombardi, a couple of terrific years with Patrick Maher on the Lombardi Line, and then Stormy guiding the way. Shout out to Femi Abedefe as well for his work on Lombardi Line, and of course, the GM Shuffle. Thanks to all those folks who filled in as guests. Obviously, Michael didn't work 7 days a week, but you know, through the years, Mike Pritchard was a big part of Lombardi Line. Will Hill, thank you. Dave Ross, an excellent job as well. I think of the seminal guests that Michael had, the everyday guest, the every weekly guest that were a big part of Lombardi Line. We spoke to Jick Jack, Carl Johnson from Beau Rivage. Tom Gable, what a terrific human being he
absolutely.
Is at the Borgata, and I'm sure he'll continue to be a part of the VSiN Morning Line. And I give a shout out, Amal Shaw, who used to do 30 minutes with myself and Michael and Patrick at the South Point on Saturdays and Sundays. And Josh Applebaum. Josh Applebaum was a very important part of the Lombardi Line in the beginning days. And I used to have many conversations with Michael about Josh and his role on the show, but all the time and work that Josh put in as well. And then, of course, to Michael, who's really made the show what it is and brought the audience in. To you, Ben Wilson. I say it was
appreciate you.
It was terrific working with you, filling in for Femi as he went to every wedding possible this summer. who knew he had to get all his vacation time in? But the 6 months we spent at Bar Canada doing Live Bet Saturday was terrific. And I will say to you, Ben, follow your dreams. Stay with your dream. No, seriously.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You've done a lot of work to get really good at what you do as a play-by-play announcer. Your break will come. Just be patient. And give it time, and don't take setbacks for any more than they are. something that is fleeting, something that is momentary. So thank you.
What prescient words from Mike Palm. I appreciate that. I know it comes from the heart. So can't thank you enough. Been a blast here working on the Lombardi Line. I think my first show filling with Michael was summer of 2021. I had a lot of great times as well on this show. Again, Michael not going anywhere, though. We have the VSiN Morning Line starting tomorrow morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Michael, Grace Remington, and Harrison Sanford. Elliot Bowman, our producer, doing an outstanding job as always. He will be producing that show as well. We say so long for the final time on the Lombardi Line. It is The Handle. Jonathan Von Tobel, Mike Somich coming your way next.